You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Monday, October the 15th of 2024, currently 39 degrees under sunny skies in downtown Wausau. Live from our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, I'm Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And you can also catch us by going to facebook.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO page. You can click on the link and see a video stream of our program as well. Plus, we'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions, and more. Give us a call or a text at the same number. You can call or text us at the very same number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. In the first hour of the show, we had a chance to speak to meteorologist Brittany Merlot about the weather. It's going to be very quiet here in north central Wisconsin. Going to see some chilly weather here today and even maybe into early tomorrow. Very cold overnight, but then things are going to start to warm up and we're going to be back above normal by the time we get to the end of the work week, and nothing but sunshine as far as the eye can see. So again, won't be any complaints about the weather over the next week or so. We'll get you an updated forecast as we do twice an hour, every hour here on 98.9 WXCO. We also had an opportunity to speak to the 7th District Congressional Democratic nominee, Kyle Kilborn, as he is going up against the incumbent Tom Tiffany 3 weeks from today on Election Day. That hour will be posted as a podcast, as will this hour be posted as a podcast at the end of the show. And if you miss any of the show, if you missed any of the previous shows as well, just go to bowfallsradio.com or civicmedia.us and click on the show page. Then you'll be able to see all the shows on Civic Media, including this one. Just click on the logo and you can see all the podcasts. We podcast hourly. So every day we have 2 hours, so we have two podcasts, and you can go to the hour that you want to listen to. If you missed anything in the past, you can go there as well. And also, you can subscribe as a podcast with Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, just subscribe to the Chad Holmes Show or any of the other programs that we have here on 98.9 and the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up here in this hour, in about 10 minutes or so, we will be joined by 85th Congressional candidate Yi-Leng Zhang, as he is in a very, very competitive race with the incumbent, Republican Pat Snyder. We'll talk to Yi about what's happening on the trail, talk about some of the issues, talk about the advertising, because as I said earlier, both on Pat Kreitlow's show and in the first hour of this show, this is a race that I have never seen as many commercials for. I don't think we've seen the level of spending in an assembly race here in central Wisconsin like we've seen this one. Lots and lots of commercials, some of which are rather, I think, ugly commercials. So we're going to talk about that, the issues, and a whole bunch more with Yi Lang Zhang coming up at 9:21 this morning here on the program. Before we go any further, I need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chet.
Well, coming up as well in this hour, at the very end of the program, we have our daily history lesson. We will have our look at some famous events that occurred on this date in history. We will have a look at some of the celebrity birthdays. We will take a look at some of the special events that are being acknowledged here today as well. And we will have our number for the day quiz.
That's right.
Yep, we will have the number for the day quiz. And what we do is we give Ian Welsh three different choices. And based on the math, he should get one out of three right, 33%. So if he's above 33%, he will be getting a passing grade. If he's below 33%, it will be a failing grade. We call it a winning week if he gets more correct than he gets wrong. But basically, it's about passing, number one. Get at least two out of five, and then we'll try to get a winning week. And it's been a little bit of a struggle recently. Ian, haven't got one right in a while.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got one right?
I know it wasn't last week, because last week was a bad week. But I think it was either 2 weeks ago, maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday, I think I got it right.
We have to go back and look.
It's been a while, but yeah. My dad was letting me know that, he was letting me have it about the answer yesterday, because I thought it was a 30 seconds, because he was pretty close with the 40 seconds, but he was, he was just joking that I should have got that one. But I was thinking, the average person, I was thinking, not everybody is as, there's some people who are less patient.
Exactly.
Than others. I mean,
but the thing that jumped out at me,
it wasn't going to be the last answer.
But the thing that jumped out at me is you're Mr. Middle. You're always Mr. Middle. You always start the week off with the middle. And that time we had the middle was the right one, and you did not go with the middle, and it was the middle.
Yeah. So, but I second guess myself and it backfired.
Well, again, I mean, it's sometimes you've had some pretty good roles there. I mean, if we talk about math, because this is, again, you try to make your best educated guess on it.
That's right.
You get three choices, you make an educated guess. And again, one out of three is, based on the math. And so, again, based on the math, on a normal day, you're going to get it wrong. So it's not surprising, but it's surprising to go through a week and a half here, basically, where you have not been able to get one right. So we're going to do it again at the end of the show. Do you want to know what the category is going to be this time around when we get to the end of the program?
You know what? I do. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, there's a couple of ways I could go about this. There's actually two ways I could do about this, but I'm going to give you, I'm going to go one, because this will be part of the subject matter, part of it. Rice. So rice is the topic. Okay. Rice will be the topic for the number for the day quiz coming up at the end of the program. So you can stew on that for a while.
Yeah.
And see if we can get you back on the winning track a little bit later on. Real quickly, want to remind folks that we have another big week of high school sports coverage here on 98.9 WXCO. It's a big week, final week of the high school football regular season. We'll start things off tomorrow evening from 6 till 8 p.m. It is the big high school sports show presented by K5 Construction. Jason Foster will join me from 6 till 8 p.m. We'll recap the action of Week 8 in high school football. We'll preview the final week of the regular season with playoff berths and conference championships on the line. Plus, we'll be joined by a couple of special guests. As coming up at 6:25 tomorrow evening will be our coach guest, and it's been one of the I think really fun stories so far this year is DC Everest, as the DC Everest Evergreens have really had a fantastic season. They clinched in a thriller last week, able to win the conference championship, at least a share of the conference championship. They went into their game tied with Stevens Point for the lead in the Wisconsin Valley Big Rivers Conference East. It was a thriller. Everest won by a score of 47-41 in double overtime. And we'll talk to the Evergreen head coach, Braden Mitchell, about the season, his first year as head coach at DCE. Braden Mitchell, our coach guest, at 6:25 tomorrow evening. And then at 7:06, it will be our student-athlete guest coming up. It'll be Elmer Hurd from the Wausau East Lumberjacks. He is a Wausau East defensive lineman. He has been racking up the tackles, racking up the sacks, and one of the key reasons that Wausau East is heading to the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. So Elmer Hurd from Wausau East will be our student athlete guest at 7:06 tomorrow evening on the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. Then on Thursday night, we have a special high school volleyball matchup. And every year, Wausau East and Wausau West participate in a special event. It is the pink ribbon match, the pink ribbon game, where the Wausau East Lumberjacks and the Wausau West Warriors raise money in the battle against breast cancer. And it's really a big event. There's all sorts of great activities around the match. It's just a lot of fun, lots of emotion there as well, because you have breast cancer survivors who are part of the event. But we will have live coverage of Wausau West and Wausau East in high school volleyball from their pink ribbon game at Wausau East, 7:00 on Thursday evening. And then on Friday, not one, not two, but three high school football matchups in week number 9, and two of which have playoff implications for our teams. I will be at Tom Field on Friday night. The Wausau West Warriors take on River Falls. The Warriors, 4-4 overall, 3-3 in the conference, to secure a playoff berth. They have to win that game. If they lose, they still have a chance to get in, but if they win, they know they're in. So you want to get that taken care of so you don't have to toss and turn Friday night. So Wausau West against River Falls, 6:35 airtime, live right here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Also Friday night, Marathon is at Spencer Columbus in the season finale for the Red Raiders. That game can be heard live on the Sports 2 stream of the Civic Media app and at BowFallsRadio.com and on tape delay after the West game on 98.9 WXCO. 6:40 p.m. airtime, again, live on the Sports 2 stream of the app and BowFallsRadio.com. And Newman Catholic needing a win to make sure they're going to the playoffs, the Newman Cardinals at Wild Rose, 6:40, live on the Sports 3 stream of the Civic Media app and BowFallsRadio.com, and tape delay on Saturday at 11:00 on WXCO. So lots of great stuff in high school sports this week. And again, what are we? What are we?
Very proud.
We are
to be the only Wausau Radio station who still covers high school sports.
That is exactly right. The pride, because it's the right thing to do, and it's something that we really enjoy doing as well.
Yep.
The time is 9:18. Coming up next, we're going to talk to 85th Assembly District candidate Yiling Zhang right here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, it's a good day to talk to political candidates. In the first hour, we had 7th District Congressional candidate Kyle Kilborn, and very happy to welcome here into studio. It's always better when it's in studio. I enjoy that. And 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee Yiling Zhang. Yi, thank you for coming back on the program.
Thank you for having me here again, Chad. It's always a pleasure.
Well, obviously, we're 21 days away from the election. It's been a long grind, I'm sure, for you. I think it's been a long grind for the people out there as well. But as you walked in, and I just said, how are things going? And you started talking, and it wasn't about talking about the commercials. It wasn't talking about even a specific issue. It was talking about when you see people and when they see you. Mm-hmm. And can you tell the story about the person that yelled out to you to start talking to you what you told me, because then I'll add on to it.
Yeah. So, you know, oftentimes when during campaign season, people are always thinking that it's about the ads. It's about the, you know, the political partisanship that exists there, who's Democrat, who's Republican. But we fail to remember that the people that are impacted are those that are the normal working people in the local area here. And one of the things I'm very proud of is I've been going out there and knocking on doors. So we've knocked on thousands of doors. And I remember the two weeks ago, I was out knocking on doors, and all of a sudden there was this neighbor who called out my name, and I turned around and she ran up to me and she was talking to me. And here I am thinking that she was going to talk about policies or issues or specific concerns that she had. But she's like, I don't want to talk policies. I want to talk about how you can help me get through the end of the month here. And that's another reminder to me that real people, real Wisconsinites in the 85th Assembly here, district here, are struggling. And as politicians, elected representatives, you are their representatives. You are a public servant, and you need to help them relieve their pain. You have to relieve their struggling. And I was glad to be able to talk with her for 30 minutes and provided her services that she needed, connected her with people as well.
I want to underline that because, again, in one of the aspects of our group, Civic Media, the last 2 years, and our owner who formed this organization, who has put a lot of money into getting 20 radio stations around the state of Wisconsin, because he saw there was a lack of balance when it came to some of the discussions, when it came to news talk radio. But also, he has said many times, it's not about being a partisan cheerleader for somebody. It's not about trying to be on one side and try to push somebody across the goal line for a touchdown. It's about trying to secure our democracy. And when you start thinking about it, the whole system is based on folks going to the polls, electing somebody to represent them, whether it's at their city council, whether it's for their county board, whether it's for the state assembly, whether it's for the United States Senate, as we're going to see, that for the system to work, there has to be that connection between the person who serves and the people that they're serving. And you've had a lot of experience in that, whether it's been on the school board, whether it's been within the Hmong American Center, working with your community. What is the biggest aspect of that connection? How has it worked for you? Because obviously you get something out of it as well. That's why you're continuing to serve. That's why you're wanting to serve in the state assembly. Talk about what you have gotten by serving others within some of these positions that you've had.
Yeah, one of my mentors once said to me that the Wausau and, you know, Central Wisconsin here, although we're not rich, right, we all have heart of gold. And that's where I took to heart seriously, you know. And
right.
One of the things that I enjoy doing is being able to help folks in general here. And when I'm talking about folks, I'm not talking about large corporations or individuals. I'm talking about the regular folks that you meet on a day-to-day basis. I mentor youth for a living. Mm-hmm. I mentor youth that I have mentored over 100 youth in their local area here, helping them to become law enforcement officials, social workers, helping them to go on to become teachers, nurses, and so much more. And my greatest success is not running for office and winning office, but it's helping individuals be able to achieve their potential, be able to see their own potential and become successful folks. And, you know, there are times late at night where I would get phone calls at 3 a.m. and they would call me for advice, for guidance, and mm-hmm. I would stay up with them having those conversations. It's nothing different when I'm knocking at the doors, and I'm used to this, knocking at doors and talking to people, and when they're expressing their concerns, their frustrations, I listen, because I can't govern if I don't know what the concerns are. And that's my biggest pride here, is being able to listen to their concerns and finding solutions to addressing their concerns.
Let me ask you a question, and we're going to get to, I think, specific issues here in the second half after our news update, but as coming from that answer, what is an issue that you never thought you might work on that you ultimately had to work on because of a constituent call? I mean, because obviously you go into an office and you're thinking, hey, I want to do this, this, and this. I mean, I think it's a natural thing that you see things within your own life, but maybe an issue that you thought you worked on that you probably thought, I never thought I'd work on something like this, but somebody asked me to do it.
Yeah, so, you know, I have to say this, you know, because I also work in the nonprofit sector, so I get phone calls as well, too. And, you know, I have calls from how to remove bees, you know, to something as, of having a snake in their house and how to find somebody to help that, to something as serious as the immigration system, or even to something as zoning laws where individuals have a hard time and they're, their family is living with them, and then they have multiple cars, and it violates the 5-car per lot area, mm-hmm. and they get ticket for it, so I have to work with them through that, to something as where individuals are getting cited because they didn't realize that they that they didn't understand that when the citations comes in, it's in English, so some of those folks didn't understand it, so
right.
having them, helping them through that, or even to something where there was an individual that I worked with where she lived in the apartments in the area here, and because she didn't understand the English language, they had the notice on the door that basically said, mm-hmm. you need to claim your items, because it was a new property management that came in. You need to let them know that this is your storage in the bottom, otherwise we're throwing it out. Well, she couldn't read the language, so they threw out her entire life. Everything that she had that was in there, they threw it out. And she was heartbroken. And we had to go through and having those discussions as well with folks like that.
Again, I just think that sometimes we take our eye off the ball in a lot of situations where it really is that simple, where somebody's life is being, in a sense, torn away.
Yes.
Those are pieces of life are being torn away where we don't think about it. It's not, when you have our five topics of conversation that usually are broad and obviously vitally important, but I do think that sometimes we have to take a step back and talk about what is the job.
Yes.
That is the job. That's very, very interesting indeed. We are going to talk about some of the broader strokes of this campaign as we head down the stretch, 3 weeks away from Election Day, as Yi Leng Zhang, who is the Democratic nominee for the 85th Assembly District, with us. We have a information update coming up, news, weather, and sports, and then back with some more with Yi here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We are joined by 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee Yi Leng Zhang, as we are 21 days away from Election Day. The incumbent Republican nominee, Pat Snyder. Before we talk specifically about issues, we were talking a little bit off air about, again, the amount of commercials and the amount of money. And I said in the last hour of the program when I was talking about this race that I've never seen an assembly race in our area that has as many commercials and I imagine as much money being spent in this race. And one thing that I've noticed about your campaign is that in terms of the racial, that you still are putting out, I would call, positive spots, where you're talking about yourself and talking about the things that you believe in, talking about the issues you think are important. And at the same time, I do see a lot of commercials that I imagine that are difficult for you to watch, where, basically being called a member of a radical group, or that you want to open up the jail cells and let all these dangerous people out into our community, and that you don't want our community to be safe. How do you look at all of this? Because, again, it must be easy for you to say, I'm going to come back and get upset about this. But at the same time, you haven't, I would say, gone nuclear, and you still have a lot of positive commercials out there. Can you talk about the whole landscape of this race? Because it is, I think, really a lot of folks are pouring money into it, and maybe a lot of outside influences are coming into it. What's your take on what we're seeing in terms of the media war during this race?
I think partially is because of the fact of how important this seat is. This seat is due to fair maps, and now is a 50-50 seat that has the best chance for if Democrats wins this seat here, they take the majority in the House, in the Assembly. So there's a lot of attention and focus on here, and we've been running a campaign that's been very positive, that's focusing on the issue. I can't recall who said it, but they said that I don't attack people, I attack ideas, and that's what I feel here. I attack policies, I attack issues that are, issues, and I'm a person that wants to get to the issues that's at hand here, because I want to find solutions to address those issues, not just have good talking points and attacking the person across the aisle here, because in the end here, we're still community members, we're still still Wisconsinites. We're still Americans here. And we need to do what's best for our community here. And I have long track record of addressing those issues. I mean, there's issues where folks have labeled that, you know, me as an extremist and I'm going to defund the police. But I've served on the Public Safety Committee for Marathon County, for Village of Weston. I served on the Joint Finance Committee for Everest Metro PD before it became Mountain Bay. And time again, I've been a long supporter of law enforcement and first responders. I've established a scholarship for first responders. I gave raises and increases to salaries to correctionals and police officers and deputies. I've purchased equipments, you know. So I even helped, voted in support of expanding another 911 dispatch line to ensure effective communications, you know, in our community here. So, I always encourage folks that when you feel like something's a little wrong or off, for you to do your own, to do your research, because the extreme group that folks are talking about is Citizen Action, and they believe in clean environment, safer jobs, you know, good health care, and protecting democracy. I never thought of those as extreme, you know, ideologies. It's something that every Wisconsinite believes in, and when I'm knocking doors and talking to folks, they bring those issues up. And I mean, my personal opinions, I'm also a person that wants to work with both sides to end the gridlock, and I intend on being that voice.
And that's something you've had to do on the county board, isn't it?
It is. Even on the school board and village board, and I have to work with folks that I completely disagreed with, sat in rooms with them, and although we may not agree on things, we got to common grounds and made progress as well, and I'm proud of that.
What are the biggest differences between you and Pat Snyder?
Sure. So for me specifically, I'm a very impatient person. You know, when I say impatient here, I like to get things done. Mm-hmm. I like to talk about solutions. I like to work on things. I'm not going to just sit there and say I'm going to try to get things done. I'm going to work to get things done here. I'm a person that wants to make sure that we're expanding health care to cover, 89,000 Wisconsinites by expanding BadgerCare, to working on addressing the child care crisis that we have in our community here. Because in the end here, if we're not doing anything, the people that are struggling is the people of Wisconsin. And as I said here, I'm a very impatient person and I want to make things done. I have a track record of that. I have a track record of getting issues addressed, and I don't inflate my current record and misrepresent my opponent's record.
Let's talk about some of those specific issues. And I just think that health care is going to be an issue that is going to be with us for as long as we are walking around here in central Wisconsin, because things are always going to change. And one of the, and again, I kind of shake my head when I think about the idea that instead of having healthcare access grow, we've seen healthcare access actually contract in a lot of ways. And I do think that it's an issue that not only can you as potentially a member of the assembly work on, it's something that has to be done, I think, at all levels of government right now. But when you look at this, if you are able to go to Madison, is there any ideas in terms of what maybe initial steps that we have to at least be thinking about when it comes to trying to at the very least stop this trend, which I think is very, very concerning?
Yeah, I think expanding BadgerCare is going to be the number one first step, and not just seriously considering it, but actually taking action on it and making it happen. And the reason why I say this is because it helps give access to 89,000 Wisconsinites right away to access to healthcare. But we also have to remember that in rural areas, especially like areas like the 85th Assembly District, the Marathon County area, access to healthcare in the rural areas is already limited, as you mentioned, and it's getting harder and harder with the closure of the two hospitals out in Chippewa Falls area. That's a concern. And then also with Marshfield Clinic laying off several hundreds of workers earlier this year, that's another impact on our access to healthcare as well. And we as elected leaders, representatives, needs to do what's best for Wisconsinites and put our people over politics.
I know we've talked about this in the past as well, but just yesterday I had the superintendent of schools and the school board president from Ozone and talking about a referendum. And it's not just Mosinee, where I know Marathon's got one. I know that's a whole bunch of folks they have these school referendums where, simply put, they need money either for building projects or even for just day-to-day operations. And obviously, you know as well as anybody with your work on the DC Everest School Board, where there's going to be discussions next year. There's going to be budget talks next year. You talk about action, and it feels as though we saw a little bit of action the last time around, but we're still far behind, and we still see so many schools that are forced to go back to their voters to say, we're sorry, but we're going to ask you to dig into your pockets a little bit deeper to, in order to keep our schools at the level that they need to be. Beyond, again, just the basics, I think some issues almost need a broader discussion, and I think that school funding may be one of those. How do you look at it, especially with the experience that you have?
Yeah, and, you know, being on the school board, I've talked with teachers, students, administrative staff, and there's one thing that's clear, is that our schools are expected to do more with less.
Yes.
And we need to go back and look at that funding formula, you know, the funding formula, and look at ways to make sure that it's adequate, you know, and we need to look at it. Another thing is that we also have the largest surplus and rainy day fund mm-hmm. in history for the state of Wisconsin that's just sitting there. Instead, you know, in the last term, there's several politicians in the state legislature that proposed giving that back as a tax cut to folks that were making $300,000 and more, while Governor Evers advocated for funding to come back to address our schools, to address the child care crisis and so much more. We need to look into being creative with our funding sources to be able to fund our schools so that they can provide the necessary resources. We're having a shortage of teachers. We need to work on attract and retain teachers. We need to provide funding to provide resources for students with special needs as well. There's so much more that we can be doing, and we need to be creative when we're looking at these concerns and coming up with solutions.
It's almost inexcusable, to be honest with you, that money has been sitting there for the last couple of years, and basically the idea is that the Republicans are hoping to kind of hang on until mm-hmm. they get a majority in both houses and a governor that's willing to sign it in order to give massive tax cuts again. And you mentioned the fact that there still is a child care crisis in this state. I mean, and I think maybe almost an umbrella question here, if we can put that in there, put in the school funding and everything else. Do you think there's an appetite for major, not just implemental discussions, implemental, you know, put a little bit more money here, a little bit more money here, that we need to take a step back and really think about major changes in a number of these different areas? Unfortunately, I think, and again, this is my theory when it comes to American governance generally, that it's very hard for major change, that this country, going back couple of centuries, it's always been about the major change only comes in times of emergency. And I think in some of these areas you could argue there's some emergencies coming, but do you think that if you're able to go there, that you could be an agent for significant change?
Yeah, I for sure. I would be an individual that's very, I like to be proactive, you know, because what we've been seeing is folks has been kicking the cans down the road here, right, and then addressing it when it becomes a larger issue. We need to look into, programs as it's an investment and a return of investment here. For example, you know, that you mentioned the child care crisis. The child care crisis contributes to the workforce shortage that we currently have here. Folks are staying at home because the cost of childcare is extremely high. It costs more for UW tuition to UW Madison than it does for childcare. I've been knocking doors and talking to folks, and they were telling me that there was a neighbor I was talking with who said that she has twins and costs more than what she makes in a year here. The state legislator didn't act on issues like childcare. You know, they chose not to fund it, to provide some funding or looking at solving the solution. When the governor proposed and also called for the state legislature to come back to convene to address it, they gaveled out. The only true actions that's been taken was when Governor Evers allocated federal dollars and when the Marathon County Board, a local government, allocated $200,000 to child caring to train 30 additional child care workers to open up 240 slots. I think it's appalling at the fact that the state legislature has not addressed this issue and helped the working class in the local area.
You mentioned the University of Wisconsin. We have a campus here in Wausau, the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point at Wausau, and the two-year campuses, we have seen a drip, drip, drip of closing. Is that something that you have delved into at all, and do you have any word to make sure that, I think, a very important aspect of our community having that university continues?
Yes. So me being very biased here, right, because of the fact that we have in the 85th Assembly District here, we have a two-year college campus here that but it's beneficial to our community here. You know, we need to invest in our UW system on several things. It's a major contributor to developing workforce development, attracting, retain talent in our communities here. But it's also important to note that these school districts, the UW system, is a major employer in the state of Wisconsin. Investing and allowing to be successful contributes to making Wisconsin a successful place. And by us attracting folks to come and come to our UW system, our two-year UW campus, especially the UW Stevens Point at Wausau, that also helps our community grows as well.
And I guess finally, I want to kind of put it back together, sort of what we were talking about at the beginning about making government maybe, I don't know if I want to talk so more. I was saying to you, I had this, it would always be a magical time. And with in at all levels, when you see what's happening with the, you know, one of the candidates, we're seeing, you know, we're seeing misinformation put out there when it concerns storms in parts of this country. What can we do to kind of bring back some of the magic in terms of knowing that, because it's a very special system that we have here. You obviously, I think, have a different perspective than even I would have because of your life story. Mm-hmm. How important is it to try to, you know, take a step back and to the idea of bringing people together, having those battle of ideas? It's not really a question, but maybe just some thoughts on where we stand with government and within our communities and within our discussions with our neighbors. I know there's a lot there, but I was just curious about your perspective on that.
Yeah, from my elders, they've always taught me that during times of hardship, you turn to your leaders. When there is problems, you ask for mediations from your leaders. And as elected representatives, our job is to ensure that we're helping every Wisconsinite and American up. We're not giving hands out, but we're helping people in time of needs. We need to ensure that we're doing what we can here to help people continue to progress and reach the American dream. And that's my thought. We need to go back into ensuring and uplifting folks so they can reach that American dream.
Yiling Zhang, candidate for the 85th Assembly District, 3 weeks from Election Day. Really appreciate it. I know it's very busy. Glad you could stop on by. Hopefully we can pop you in before Election Day again. Would love to do that. But again, as you continue to your discussions, best of luck, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Chad.
We're going to come back, have our daily history lesson coming up next. The time is 9:49. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, don't forget that if you miss any of the program, you can go to our show page at BowFallsRadio.com and CivicMedia.us. Again, click on shows, and you'll see all the shows. You see the logo for my show. Can't miss it. Big, bright green logo. Click on that, and you'll be able to get podcasts of each of the hours of the show. So, again, just check out our podcast. You can also subscribe through either Spotify or Apple or Google Podcasts as well. Well, today is the 15th day of October of 2024. This year is flying right on by. We have 2.5 months to go in this year. It is day number 289 of this year. There are 77 days remaining. And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. 1860. In the midst of the presidential campaign of 1860, 11-year-old Grace Bedell of Westfield, New York, wrote a letter to presidential candidate Abraham Lincoln, suggesting he could improve his appearance by growing a beard. And that's exactly what Abe did. On this date in 1951, I Love Lucy premiered on the CBS television network.
Great show.
On this date in 1991, the United States Senate narrowly confirmed the nomination of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court, 52-48. And I'm old enough to remember that summer with the nomination hearings of Clarence Thomas. Anita Hill had made some accusations against Clarence Thomas. It was a very, very high wire act. And the person that was the chairman of the Judiciary Committee that did those hearings, do you know who that might be, Ian? I know it's before your time, but would you care to guess who the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee that ran the Clarence Thomas hearings back in 1991 was?
I'm afraid I don't know, actually.
Guy named Joe Biden.
Oh.
Who's still around himself as President of the United States. Mm-hmm. On this date in 2017, actress Alyssa Milano tweeted, "If you've been sexually harassed or assaulted, write Me Too." And that prompted a flood of replies across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and the Me Too movement was started. And on this date in 2018, Sears filed for bankruptcy. Some famous people celebrating their birthday today. Linda Lavin. She was the star of Alice on CBS, also a Tony winner for Broadway Bound, 87 years old today. Tito Jackson of the Jackson 5 is 71. Actor Vanessa Marcille from Beverly Hills 90210 in Las Vegas is 56. Dominic West of The Wire and The Affair is 55. And Bailey Madison of The Wizards of Waverly Place and Bridge to Terabithia is 25 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is I Love Lucy Day. It is Breast Health Day. It is Global Hand Washing Day. It is Information Overload Awareness Day. My Mom is a Student Day. It is Cheese Curd Day.
Nice.
It is Grouch Day. Lemon Bar Day. I love lemon bars. It is Pug Day. It is Red Wine Day. It is Sewing Lovers Day. All right. It is time for our number for the day and our number for the day quiz. I give Ian three choices. Based on the math, he should get one out of three correct if he's just guessing. So that's 33%. So a passing week is 33% or better. A failure week is 33 below 33%.
Yep.
A true winning week is you get more right than wrong. And the record week right now is 4 out of 5. So
that's right.
Still looking for that perfect 5 out of 5. We're going to keep going until you get one. So.
Yes, absolutely.
But our number for the day. All right.
Rice.
Rice. The tons of rice consumed in China each year.
Tons of rice.
Tons of rice. Is the correct answer 50 million tons of rice? Is the correct answer 100 million tons of rice? Is the correct answer 150 million tons of rice consumed in China each year?
Each year. Well, let's see. I don't want to overthink this. But okay.
Can't have information overload because it's...
Yeah, that's yeah, true.
Avoid information overload today.
Okay, I'm going to... go with my gut here. I'm going to say 150 million. I'm going to go with C. I'm going to go with the biggest number today. So my final answer, I'm going to go with C.
All right. Tons of rice consumed in China each year. The correct answer is 150 million tons
yes.
of rice.
Oh.
Back on the winning track.
Thank goodness for that.
1 out of 2 this week, so you're in a good position heading into Hump Day Wednesday.
Awesome.
Fantastic. All right. That's a good way to spend the walk out now with a spring in the step.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks to our guest today, Kyle Kilborn, the 7th District Congressional nominee for the Democratic Party, and also to 85th Assembly District Democrat Yi Lengzhong. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 till 10 a.m. Ian, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.